I believe that the more people know and understand their purpose in life, the less anxiety, stress, and depression they will experience. And so I help anxious women and men rebuild lost confidence and transform from frustrated and stuck to clear and confident in their life purpose. Through the powerful conversations on this podcast, you will be reminded of the power you truly possess to bring even your greatest dreams to life. This is about more than just building confidence. This is about remembering who you are and why you're here. This is the Confidence Academy podcast. Hi guys, welcome back to the show. You are listening to the Confidence Academy podcast with me, Lily Badcock. And today I am joined by Tanya El Fersi, who's all the way in Israel. And I don't know why, but that's even more exciting than anywhere else in the world. So Tanya, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So Tanya, you are a transformative coach and award-winning author, and you focus on helping women transform their experience of midlife change. So if that doesn't bring a whole bunch of anxiety with it, I don't know what does. And I know that we've already had a little chat before we went on air, and you already have a really cool perspective on midlife change, midlife crisis, you know, everyone hears that term. So I'm so excited to have you here. Why don't we kick off by you telling everybody that's listening more about the work that you do, how you came to do that work. Just give them some insight into who you are and what you do.
Yes, thank you. So I support women through their, normally it's their 40s and 50s, but it can be late 30s and into their 60s, generally the time when we go through midlife change. And we call this time, these days, perimenopause, which is the time leading up to menopause and menopause. And menopause over the last few years has become this point in time, which is 1 year after your last period. And about 20 years ago, it was considered a much broader time. And so women knew that menopause was a 40-something, 50-something experience generally. And now what happens is that we come into our 40s, and this was also my experience. And we think menopause, I don't need to think about that, right? That happens at 51 or something on average, right? But actually, just as when we changed in our teenage years, that took time. When we come into midlife, that change into our post-menstruating years takes time. And so for many of us, change will begin in our 40s. And when I came into my 40s, I had no idea. You know, like I said, I thought menopause was nothing to think about for another decade. And I started experiencing all kinds of symptoms at about the age of 43, which started off with just getting a lot of, getting sick a lot, and then having a lot of migraines, and then a lot of skin problems that I'd only had when I'd been pregnant. And then getting, you know, noticing that my mood was all over the place. And it took me a good few years to realize that I was in perimenopause. Excuse me, I need to have a little drink. Oops. And I heard by chance on a webinar that a lot of women in their 40s can experience what could be called PMS on steroids. And that was really the first time, you know, after 2 years of experiencing all these symptoms and trying to knock one out and then getting another one and, you know, just running around to all kinds of treatments and taking all kinds of potions and things, I realized, oh, that sounds like me. I do feel like I'm on PMS on steroids. And that was the first time I'd heard about perimenopause. And so at that time, I was about 45, and I called up all my 40-something friends. And I was like, have you heard of this thing called perimenopause? And I was like, no, what's that? And I was like, oh, it takes time. This change that we think is going to happen in our 50s, it's happening now. And loads of people were like experiencing symptoms, I realized, and had no idea that they were going through this change. And thus, like a lot of us were just feeling totally crazy, right? Because I felt certainly like I was falling apart, didn't feel like myself. And then you've got this sort of cultural, you know, statement of the midlife crisis, and people are, you know, thinking they're drifting in and out of that. And so it was a relief to discover, oh, I'm in a time of change. But then when you start doing some research about, oh, what does that mean, perimenopause, menopause, you get really this picture of, oh, it's your hormones, right? Your hormones are in total flux. And then somehow getting it wrong. And thus, if you really want to, you know, help yourself get over the symptoms, then you need to start fixing your hormones. And so it could be down the traditional medical route of hormone replacement therapy, or then sort of bioidentical hormones, or all kinds of, even looking at nutrition in a way to sort of like, you know, knock a hormone this way or that way. And everything was around fixing your hormones. And that just didn't make sense to me. I was like, oh, why would my body be getting it wrong? Like,
right.
Why would that make any sense? Like, I got through my teenage years. I've got three kids that I gave birth to and got pregnant, you know, naturally, and gave birth to them naturally, and I was able to do that. And then all of a sudden, my body reaches this midlife time and it starts getting it wrong. That just didn't make sense to me. And so I was exploring more and more about what could be creating the symptoms and how we could cure them, or certainly most of them. And then I had an experience myself just through insight, through really understanding what this time is all about and how we're creating our stress in our lives. And I was certainly, you know, expert at that. And how this in turn then creates imbalance in our life, which then feels like a hormonal imbalance, and then creates symptoms that medicine has told us it's because of your hormones. So I was then able to witness all my symptoms just go away within days. Just through this realization and understanding. And I thought, well, that's kind of a fluke, you know, maybe. I don't know what that's about, right? But as the time went on, I realized that I'd really seen something, and I started sharing what I'd seen and what I'd researched and bringing it all together. And that brought me to doing what I'm doing today, which, and that was about 5 years ago, really, that I started sharing what I'd seen.
That's incredible. And actually, it's not something I mean, I've heard of, obviously, a midlife crisis. You hear people talking about that all the time. And I shared with you before we went live on air that my husband's convinced I'm going through it now just because I bought myself a nice car that's a little bit more sporty than the 4x4s we've been driving before. And, you know, like so many things, it has this negative overtone as well, you know, like it's just something else to worry about, something else that's going to come our way. And so, yeah, it's fascinating to me to think that, but it makes sense, doesn't it? It's fascinating to me to think that our body could be getting ready for this event in advance. But when you say that out loud, it's like, well, obviously, like, what other thing have we ever been through that's been an instant change? Like, you know, you don't decide to have a baby, then instantly have a baby. There's a slow process that your body moves through and that it changes. And, you know, that brings with it all the hormonal stuff as well. And I think, I love that you've challenged that. And I think this is what we're into now in so many areas, not just physical health, but mental health as well. And many areas of our life where we're into this place now where we're no longer just accepting what we've been told. It's like for years we've been told, oh, but this is just the way it is. And I love that there are people like you that are going, but why? Like, why is that the way it is? Like, what, couldn't it just be this, that, and the other? And I completely agree with you. Why would the body suddenly get it wrong, you know? And I know there's always going to be a case, people listening, there might be somebody listening going, well, my body got pregnancy wrong. And, you know, yeah, there's always going to be situations where there's a possibility that could happen. But I think, you know, if your own experience has been that your body functioned correctly through the teenagers, through having your babies, etc., then why all of a sudden would it be wrong now, you know? Right. And as you were talking, I mean, that PMS on steroids, I was like, God, I really resonate with that. I thought that, you know, I'll be 43 my next birthday, 24th of March, for everyone listening, I will accept cards and gifts. but that's going to be 43. And I've noticed recently, there's definitely been a change. And it hasn't been my experience all the way along. I was always really, really lucky with my periods. They were always so mild. They would last maybe 2 or 3 days. I didn't really get PMS. I didn't really have pain. I was just really blessed like that. And recently, in the last, I would say, not even 6 months, it's been really recent, I feel like I'm having my ass handed to me every month when it shows up. So I'm finding it really interesting hearing what you're saying, because there's a very good chance that that might be what this is. Like, the PMS on steroids definitely resonated. I was like, yep. So when you said, you know, that you experienced, obviously you had these symptoms, and then this realization, because that's the power of realization, isn't it? This is the power of education and the power of perception, even just reading or hearing that it could be something else can sometimes be enough to alleviate something that you're feeling. And I know it's not always going to be that way, but that's definitely been my case. I think with anxiety, I can definitely relate to that, because again, anxiety was kind of a bit of a label, like a stamp. You've got anxiety, and therefore it means this, 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 and that's the way it is. And I was a bit like you. I was like, well, that kind of sucks, and I don't really get why. Like, why is that the way? And the more I've read and the more I've understood, the more I have felt in control of my anxiety, and the more I've felt at times it hasn't even been present. So how do you help these women? So these women that are coming to you, first of all, tell me, what are they feeling when they find you? Like, what is it that makes somebody click that button and go, oh my God, I need this right now? Like, what are they most struggling with?
Yeah, so often they've been on a journey of several years, and they're struggling with, a lot of time, anxiety, depression, panic attacks, migraines. Some people have stomach issues like IBS flaring up again. And there are lots of symptoms that women have had in their, if they've been pregnant or in their teenagers, and they're realizing that, oh, these are the symptoms I had then. So hot sweats, night flashes, you know, the classic ones. And that often leads to insomnia, and all kinds of phenomenon going on in the night time at 3 a.m. You know, also the panic attacks coming in at 3 a.m. etc. So there's the really wide variety of symptoms, and actually medicine, you know, will list sort of 30 different kinds of symptoms that women are experiencing at midlife and sort of clump them all together and say, oh, it's because of your hormones. So women are generally experiencing a collection of symptoms that's driving them crazy, making them feel not like themselves. And often they've tried a ton of different treatments, and either, you know, the conventional route, the alternative route, and they just feel like they're really, you know, going from place to place, treatment to treatment, and nothing's really getting to the core of their symptoms. And then they'll come to me. And because my work is quite different from other people. Like, at first we were like, you're mad, you know, how can, you know, it's my hormones, I need to fix my hormones. And that almost gives women a sort of like a battle to fight, right? Because there's your enemy, your hormones, they're getting it wrong. If you just fix them, if you just work out what's going to fix them, you're going to feel better. And I'm really, you know, putting that to one side and say, well, let's look at it differently. You know, what if it's not our hormones? And what if our bodies are brilliant? And when you can drop into that, and just like you were talking about your anxiety, you weren't born anxious, right? So that, you know, medicine has given you or someone else a label and say, oh, you're anxious, you're depressed, you're this, you're that. That's not an inevitable case, you know, when we're born healthy. We have innate health. And we have innate health, and our bodies know how to move through transition, you know, periods of transformation, transition and change, because our body has that wisdom since even before we were born. You know, in our mother's wombs, we already had that wisdom in us. And what happens is that in our lives, we've moved so far out of balance. And often as women, we're so bombarded with, I need to be, you know, successful in my career. I need to be the best mom. I need to be the best partner. I need to go to my yoga class. I need to work out. I need to go to the gym. I need to look good. I need to, like, all of these I should. And we come to midlife where there's this really sensitive time. That's the way I like to describe it. It's a sensitive time of change. It's a time when our body actually needs us to slow down. Just like in pregnancy, just like in our teenage years, these are also sensitive times of change. And if we're running, you know, on empty battery, or, you know, firing off all the cylinders at all times and trying to keep it all going and creating like believing the story that we have to be all of these things that we believe we have to be. When we move to this sensitive time, our body's going to start talking to us. And it may start talking to us, you know, in our 30s and start saying, I don't like this level of stress that you're holding on to. And I don't like this lack of sleep that you're, you know, going through. And I don't like, what, you know, this not so great diet that you're eating, you know, crisps on the sofa all the time, or whatever it is, right? And it might start talking to us then. But if it doesn't then, it's going to start talking to us at midlife. And it's going to start trying to show us the route back to balance, because the body only wants that for us. It only wants our best health for us, because that's going to protect us as we, you know, in the decades beyond. If we come to midlife and our lives are out of balance, if it's because of stress, if it's because of diet, if it's because we're not moving, if it's because, you know, of something else that's out of a natural balance, then that could create down the line, again, it's not inevitable, it could create disease if we don't start listening to our body. So our body starts talking to us, and it starts really gently, you know, maybe one symptom, maybe two symptoms, maybe three symptoms. And if we keep on ignoring it, or we're just trying to medicate it and just wipe it out and say, I don't want to hear that, I'm turning down the volume, I'm not going to learn anything, I'm not going to listen to my body, it's just my body is broken, just give me something to fix it. We're not learning what we're supposed to learn at midlife. And so the women who come to me, you know, they've been trying to turn down the volume and trying to fix it, etc. And they come to this point that they realize there's something else going on. And perhaps it's time to look inside, and perhaps it's time to trust the body instead of fight it. And it's time to tap into the wisdom that the body offers us, and time to understand this time of midlife change as real transformative time, which it is, because that's part of the design. We're designed to change at midlife. We're not designed not to change at midlife. So what culture, medicine tells us is just, you know, just don't change. Just don't change. Just take these pills so that you don't change. You know, look this way so you don't change. But our bodies have a different plan. And there's a good reason for it, because when we do the work, if you like, of looking inside and truly understanding the wisdom that our body offers us and how we can live lives healthily and happily in balance, then that will protect us for decades to come. And that's the purpose of it. We're supposed to go through this process so that we can learn and come out healthier on the other side.
I love so much of what you just shared, and especially that message of just returning to balance. And I love that question you said, like, what if our bodies are brilliant? I just think that's such a great question to ask, whether somebody listening is dealing with that thing you're talking about, right? Maybe if you're listening and you feel like you are in, is it perimenopause? Is that what you called it?
Yeah.
Or even actual menopause, or something else. I think that's relevant, regardless of what your struggle is. Actually, it's because we are bombarded all the time by what we should be thinking, how we should be looking, what we should be saying, like what life should be. Like, it's really become this culture now of it should be this, it should be that, and it's not natural, you know. Like, even the shiny, I call it shiny shopfront syndrome, that you see on Instagram, you know, all these pictures people post, and they're all filters and, you know, bodies and, you know, life and whatever. Like, it's nice if you're having a nice holiday and you want to share your pictures, do it, but most people are sharing those snaps as a way of saying, look, this is my shiny life and it's all perfect. And nobody, like, it's like the Wizard of Oz, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Like, don't look at the mess behind me. Don't look at like the shit show that's actually going on. Look at this pretty picture that I've just put on Instagram. And what that's doing is it's making us feel like we should have, like, that word should is just awful, because I think we punish ourselves with it constantly. I do it all the time. You know, all the time I'm thinking, oh, I should be giving my kids better food. I should be giving myself better food. I should be working out. I should be doing this. I should be doing that, blah, 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 blah. And all right, you know, some of that is true. It's good to eat good food, right? But that should word is so heavy. And I think when we get into the thinking process of, oh, I should be doing this, it's usually coming from a place of what you're doing isn't good enough, right? What you have isn't good enough. And I think that's what I loved about what you shared then. It's just like, it's like you're saying, just stop everything. What if what you've got is brilliant, right? What if everything you've got is working and all you've got to do is let go? Because I think, you know, you're talking about transformation and change in terms of our body, but actually we go through transformation and change all the time in varying levels and for various different reasons. And we're so terrified of it, aren't we? It's just like, you know, we come screaming into teenage years and it's like, no, I want to still be a kid. I don't want to go through the change, or I want to be on the other side of that change. We're just programmed to not like the change. And it filters through so many areas of life. I've seen it even in my work. You know, I'm a singer and a singing coach first and foremost. And even then, there are areas of the voice that have areas of transition. To hit those big high Mariah Carey notes, you have to pass through a bridge. You have to go through that area of transformation. You cannot hit those high belty Mariah Carey notes doing what you were doing down in your Barry White space, right? Singing those low notes. It just doesn't work. You have to allow for adjustment. And in singing, it's vowel adjustment. And people resist that constantly. I resist that constantly because we feel the change and it's like it's ingrained in us. And I'd be interested to know where you think that comes from. Why do you think we are so terrified of anything changing? Where do you think that comes from?
Yeah, I think we have created these, like you said, like in this social media culture. Like if you think about even, if you think even when we were kids growing up, right? Most of us, I think, had mums and grandmothers who looked a bit different from us, right? And now there's no, and I'm not saying you have to dress any kind of way. I'm not saying that. But there is become this culture of there is no, you can look, keep dressing the way your teenage daughters are dressing, right? If I look dressed the same as my teenage daughters, that would be fine. If, yeah, you know, my mother dressed the same as my teenage, like people would think that would be fine as well. And I'm not saying if you want to, at, you know, 80, whatever, dress as a teenage girl, go right ahead. But when it's, you know, pumped into your mind that this is the route, that you try and stay as you were, you know, a decade ago or two decades ago, then there's this obliteration of any meaning in change. And the body has a different idea for you, right? Just as when you were a teenager, you're supposed to go through these uncomfortable years because you're supposed to find out what you love and sort of detach yourself from what your parents love or want for you. And you are supposed to go on your own journey, finding what your path will be. And that's where your health will lie, in that path, not if you're going to try and be, you know, what your parents want you to be all the time. Mm-hmm. And also in pregnancy and postpartum, we have to feel the change. Otherwise, we won't be able to look after our kids, you know, when we give birth. We have to sort of be looking in a different direction towards, you know, another who's coming into our lives. Otherwise, we're not going to be prepared. So, you know, there are these women who come through pregnancy and birth and they think, oh, I'm just going to keep on my regular life and everything is going to be fine. And then they like really hit, you know, whatever. And they cannot move through like that because that's just not the way it's supposed to work. And come midlife, there is a point of this change. It's not only that we learn something for ourselves, but we have a role to play as elders in society. Now, we live in a society that does not respect most of the time elders, right? Unless they're sort of, I don't know, in a very specific position, like a judge or something like that. But in terms of like a woman elder with her wisdom, with her life experience, sharing what she knows with her family, that we see more in traditional cultures and less in sort of Western culture. So we, you know, we combine these ideas of disrespect for elders, not wanting to change, trying to stay young all the time as if there's value only in that. And that sort of comes into the way we then interact with perimenopause and menopause, because we don't want it. We think that's the end. And you, you listen to the way menopause is even, you know, discussed on TV and radio, and it's like, oh yeah, it's downhill from now on, and you know, that's the end, and it's the end of my fertile years, and it's the end of this, and it's not, it's the beginning of a new chapter that you are designed to go through, and you have a role to play, and your body is doing what it's doing to prepare you for that role. And so it's really interesting because they discovered that whales, or female whales, also go through the menopause. And then they were like, there are all these scientists going, why is that? Why is it? And you know, they still say it about humans, you know, why do women go through menopause? What is the evolutionary value of menopause? Not realizing that there is a role for a grandmother that doesn't have her own babies, you know, attached to her breast. She can't be a useful grandmother when she's got her own babies attached to the breast, as she can be when she's stopped, you know, giving birth to her own children. And they found that in among whales, among the pod, when there was a postmenopausal female leading the pod, the whole pod did better. She moved through the menopause because she was in a different role. She had all this experience that she could share with the pod about where to feed and, you know, sort of when there wasn't enough food, etc., and how to solve conflict, apparently. And they're like, oh, there's a grandma effect. But the thing is, any woman you ask her, you know, when she remembers having young children, she'll know there's a grandma effect, right? We all wait for the time when the older woman who's had children, who doesn't have children, hanging on her feet, can come in and give us support. But, you know, society doesn't recognize that as an important role. So just one point I would like to make, because some people might be thinking, yeah, but we never used to live beyond menopause. And that's actually not true. Average life expectancy, when you see those graphs that sort of go up and you say, oh, you look at the onset of modern medicine and that created, you know, longer life for women. That sort of distorts at what actually was going on. What was going on is that there was really high child mortality back, let's say, you know, 500 years ago. In England, we have statistics for that. So we can say, you know, those times, sort of 16th century England, one third of children didn't make it past the age of six, and two thirds didn't make it past the age of 16. But if you made it through to your adult life, you had a really good chance of living into your 60s and 70s. So, and we see that today in hunter-gatherer societies, that also high child mortality rates, something is not going right in terms of the way we used to look after children and the way maybe, you know, hunter-gatherer societies understand childcare. And so there's a high child mortality rate, but once you live through adult to your adult life, that's it, you're living past menopause. So
I think something you said that was so, it really struck a chord. I threw my arms in the air. You guys can't see because you're on audio only, but I threw my arms in the air because you said, you know, so many women are having their babies and they have this mindset of nothing's going to change, I'm just going to crack on. That was literally me. I was so adamant because everyone kept telling me it's going to change your life. It's going to change. And of course they meant in the most wonderful way. But I was so terrified of that. It was like, no, nothing's going to change. It will be exactly the same. And do you know what? That was literally, I believe, what created that anxiety. That was the start of the panic attacks, because I was trying to hold up this falling ceiling. And it was okay that the ceiling was falling in because it had to, right? There was a higher ceiling beyond it. But my fear meant that I wasn't allowing that to happen. And I think the anxiety was caused by that feeling of panic, like, no, this can't happen. This can't be what's going on, right? And it's so exhausting living your life like that. So exhausting. I've felt so much better since I've realized that you just sit back and enjoy the ride, because guess what? It's going to happen anyway. It's just going to be a lot easier if you don't try and fight back, you know? And I know anyone listening who might be in that place right now, maybe you just found out you're pregnant, or maybe you're thinking of having babies and maybe you're frightened of that change. I mean, it will change your life, but I cannot imagine not having my children now. I can't imagine not having all those experiences. And like you say, you know, I'm only 42, nearly 43, 24th of March, send the gifts. But I feel wise now, like, and I get to pass that on. I have a stepdaughter who's 22 and I get to pass that on to her already. Like, there's already wisdom there. I can already tell her, oh, don't worry about that. Don't worry. Yeah, the boys are going to be, you know, idiots, but they won't all be like that. And you'll find a good one, you know, like there is wisdom. And I think we do put a lot of what's the word, like we make youth this kind of shiny beacon of this is where we all want to be. But actually, I wouldn't trade my life now for any of my previous years. And it's become my intention and my belief that my best years are still to come. I just always have that belief and that intention that there's always more to come. It gets to be better and better, whatever that means, whatever that looks like. And I get to enjoy my life now. I get to look back on the life I've had fondly, but never from that place of, oh, I wish I was 20 again. I absolutely do not wish I was 20 again. Occasionally, I wish that I knew that then. Like quite often I'll go, God, I wish I knew then what I know now, because I just would have saved myself a lot of heartache. But, you know, everything's for a purpose. You know, I needed to go through, like you said, I had to navigate it that way. I wouldn't have known what to do with the information if you'd given it to me anyway, right? Which is why half of what I say to my stepdaughter just goes in one ear and out the other. She's like, well, whatever. And I'm like, that's all right. When you're 40 odd, like, you'll get it. Like, it will suddenly land. And I remember my mum saying the same thing to me when I was being horrible to her as a teenager. And she was like, one of these days you'll appreciate what I've done. One of these days you'll come to me and you'll go, mum, I get it. And we actually have had that moment where I'm like, mum, like, I totally get it. I'm so sorry. But, you know, it's just such a gift, I think, to be able to honour where you're at now and be hopeful for what's to come rather than fearful. You know, I mean, I've learned through friends that I've lost, you know, whose lives were cut short. For me now, every year is a blessing. I celebrate my birthday. I mean, I was joking about the cards and the gifts, but the truth is, I do celebrate my birthday. I've never been one to go, oh, I don't want to tell you my birthday, or I don't want to tell you my age. No, I do want to tell you because I celebrate it. I just think I'm so fortunate to have had this many years, and I hope I get another one and another one and another one. And that's truly the mindset shift. And I just, when you said that, you know, we think we're just going to carry on the same, like, that was exactly me. And it led to an absolute complete unraveling of everything, you know, and eventually I learned, like, it's okay to change. And I think I say the same thing as well about challenges and, you know, life challenges that come along. I say the same thing to people. We're so afraid of being challenged that we spend our life like with our head down going, oh God, like, please don't bring me a challenge. But actually, every challenge I've been through has only elevated me. And the more we can expect them to come and prepare for them rather than sit there covering our faces, hoping that it's not going to happen, we're so much better equipped when it lands. So when the symptoms show up, you go, oh, I know what this is. And I'm not afraid of it. I'm just going to give myself what I need. I'm going to let myself rest. I'm going to let myself eat what I want to eat or whatever. We don't overthink it. And I think, you know, so many of us have got into that habit of overthinking everything. It's like, oh God, it's another thing, you know? I absolutely loved what you shared. I want to ask you, before we wrap up and tell everyone how they can find you if they want to find out more, I would love to know your take on spiritual path. Does this feel like a spiritual calling to you? Do you feel like everything that you're teaching now was always going to be the way? Do you feel like you were led that way, or are you not that way inclined at all? Because I'm always interested. I interview people on all spectrums here. I'd love to know what your view is of the work that you're doing, because it's clearly transformational for the women that you're helping and for you as well, because I see how lit up you are when you talk about this. So yeah, I would just love to hear that from you.
Yeah. I do think it is a spiritual path. And I think that a lot in my life led me to this. And I've always had an interest in women's issues and women's health. And I wrote a book about motherhood, and it just continued. And it just all seemed to fall into place that, you know, you can't say, oh, I can't say I was responsible for that. Oh yeah, me. I made that all fall into place. You know, when I look back and I see, oh, this happened, and then this happened, and this happened, and then I had this great insight, and then all my symptoms disappeared. And then, you know, I just started sharing, and then that started growing. And, you know, it does feel like a spiritual path. And I think that that is the point also of midlife change, that we reconnect to that divine force within us. Because I get, you know, when we are in our 20s and when we are in our 30s and we can sort of run after the career and run after the partner, and if we choose, you know, run after bringing kids and, you know, then run after them in the playground and et cetera, et cetera. You know, that's very much on the outside, and that's fine. But in terms of what's going to help you as you move forward in life to become an elder, you have to look inside and you have to connect with that spirit, and you have to see that actually it's not, I think, it's not all on you. And there is this force that's so incredible and so much more intelligent than anything that I could possibly think up or any other doctor could possibly think up about my body, that is just running the show, and I don't need to control it. Right. So, like, even going back to what you had just mentioned about you, you know, believing nothing in your life will change after motherhood, and then all of a sudden, like, all these symptoms, the symptoms were a blessing. And I know they don't feel like a blessing when we're in them, right? Because I've been in super symptoms, but they were an absolute blessing. They were coming from the love of your body, trying to guide you and say, oh, you know, this isn't going to work. Like, if you're going to live with all this stress, it's not going to work. It's not good for you. It's not good for your kids, your family. So how about, you know, making a little switch? And until we listen and look inside and appreciate that wisdom, which is not, you know, Tanya's wisdom, Lily's wisdom, it's not our wisdom and such. It is the wisdom of something much bigger and divine and ancient that's running through us. And it's going to keep on protecting us and loving us, you know, no matter what. So even when we do go completely, you know, off track, completely off balance, completely, you know, ignoring nutritional, you know, wisdom and our body's wisdom, it totally forgives us. This divine force forgives us, and we can come back into balance, and it will keep on speaking to us. And it's not judgment. Symptoms are not judgment. They are these divine gifts that our body gives us to try and get us back on a path. And like I said, we can get away with a lot in our 20s and 30s, but, you know, even if we don't get away with it then, it's really going to come midlife if we're not going to look at it, because that's the design. That's the divine wisdom coming through. So, yeah, I think midlife certainly, and all of life, you know, is a spiritual path. And then there'll be just times when we feel it more and times when we just like, I don't know what you're talking about.
I love that. I just love everything you just said. And I so agree. It's how I feel about anxiety as well. And I'm always reluctant to say it, that anxiety is a sign that you're out of alignment, because it feels like I'm being flippant, but I'm really not. And it was truly my experience. And I know that everyone has their own experience. And to some, my experience of anxiety won't look that severe compared to others. I know that there are so many variables, but all I can speak about is my own path, my own truth. And that was absolutely it. It was basically my body saying, you can't sustain this. This is not what you were made for. And there's something greater that you were made for, and you can trust that, and you can just let go. And I just love everything you said. I mean, you guys can't see, but I'm like a nodding dog over here. I was just nodding along to everything that was being shared. Oh, thank you so much. Tanya, if people would like to find out more about your work or connect with you, how's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, they can go to my website, first of all, thewiserwoman.com, thewiserwoman.com. And there's tons of blog posts that cover all kinds of issues about midlife change and perimenopause and menopause. So that's a really good place to start. And I'm on Facebook. You can look me up, Tanya Alfersi, and then also the Wiser Woman's on Facebook. And that's a great place to start. And I offer online course and coaching, and, you know, but great places to start with the blog, because there's lots of content there.
Yeah, and we'll put links to that, of course, in the show notes, and obviously your program as well. We will put links to that too. You guys know where to find that. It's in the show notes. Tanya, thank you so much for giving us your time today. I've absolutely loved it.
Thank you. Thank you.
And to everyone listening, remember, confidence is yours as soon as you choose it. Tanya, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Lily Badcock on the Confidence Academy podcast. Please subscribe to the show to make sure you never miss an episode. And also, why not join me over in the Permission to Soar Facebook group? The link is in the show notes, along with all of the other links mentioned in today's episode. Thanks for listening. Until next time.